And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Stories often told in the southern states, South Virginia, during the years of slavery, when a particular slave was found reading his Bible during the week in his little hut. And the master of that plantation happened to come by and see this taking place, this man reading the scriptures. Of course, it was outside his working hours, which he should have been entitled to do. But the master, being a very hard man, he stopped by and he called to the slave within the hut and told him that there was plenty of time on the Sabbath day to read the scriptures, and that if he had any free time, then he should be working in the tobacco factory with the other slaves. The hardness of that man's heart issued the command that that slave be taken and whipped and beaten as a form of punishment. However, later on that day, the master of that particular plantation, as they were known, returned to the place of punishment where that man he had ordered to be beaten. And he heard a voice coming from within that man's hut, the voice of prayer. And he heard that man who had been flogged amongst his groans and his weeping. He heard that slave pray, Father in heaven, forgive my master for his injustice, but help me to do your will above his. And as that man heard the prayer of that old slave, his heart was touched, his heart was moved, his heart was broken, and brought about temporary remorse and repentance in that man's heart as he heard that slave pray for grace to fulfill his heavenly Father's will above the will of this man who was a hard taskmaster who had the will to put a man to death, never mind have him beaten. As I was thinking about that story, which is a true story, I was thinking about that slave who undoubtedly and understood the power of the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I remind you last week also that little girl who came to her pastor and reminded him. You remember how the story goes that she told her minister, every time I pray the Lord's Prayer, I feel as if I'm put in my place. For when I pray, hallowed be thy name, I often think, well, how much energy I try to make known my own name. And when I pray, thy kingdom come, I often am rebuked at how I am setting about establishing my own little fiefdom. And when I pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, my heart is broken, Pastor, when I see how much time I give to the accomplishment of my own desires and my own will above that of my Father in heaven. Now we come this morning to the third petition. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. We come not only to the third petition, but to the final petition of the first section. Remember how we divided up the sections of the Lord's Prayer. We said there are six petitions generally accepted, and the first three point us to the glory of the Father, and the latter three, they are to do with our own selves. The last three, forgive us our trespasses, give us our daily bread, lead us not into temptation. So it's a very important landmark, as you want to say, in the study of the Lord's Prayer. We're coming here to pray. Look at the petition with me in verse 2. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Now we're going to move very quickly into this right away by asking a question. What is God's well. To keep this very simple for us, and I trust you have appreciated and detected that we are seeking to put forth the simplicity of this prayer, the simplicity of the petitions, that Christ was not trying to confuse his people by giving them elaborate petitions. He was giving them simple words that these fishermen and working men were able to understand, and they knew what Christ was asking of them. He was teaching them to pray. And as I said to you, the proposition every time we come to the Lord's Prayer is this: when God tells or answers this man's petition, his first petition was, "Teach us to pray." And God taught him how to pray. And those petitions were teaching him things about his own heart, as I just outlined to you, in the simplistic understanding of that young teenage girl who approached her pastor saying, "Every time I pray this prayer, I am put in my place. It teaches me more about my own heart and the secret desires of my own heart above that of God and his will." But it is necessary, people, that we know what we're asking here, or God is asking of us, and what we are actually praying. When we pray, "Thy will be done," what do we mean? Now, you young people here this morning, you may be confused in this, as I was confused in this. I grew up in the Free Presbyterian Church. Not always. I was a Congregationalist before that. But I grew up in my teenage years in the Free Presbyterian Church. And I heard lots of times, "You need to know God's will. You need to do God's will. Are you in God's will?" And I never really once had a man set me down and say, "This is what I mean. Are you in God's will? What is God's will? What is God's will for you in regards to your work, your education, or marriage, young woman, young man?" You need to know, what is God's will for me? There's no point being mystical about it. "Oh, isn't it great to be in God's will?" What are you talking about? You tell me what you're talking about, and I'll tell you if it's great to be in God's will or not. The best way to divide this up this morning is to look at God's will from two different aspects. This has always been the way Reformed churches have looked at, not say all Reformed churches, but most Reformed churches look at it this way, that God's will is seen in two different dimensions. We have, first of all, what is known as God's decretive will, or God's secret will. And we have, secondly, what's known as God's revealed will, or God's inscripturated will. That simply means that, doesn't mean God has two wills. No, it doesn't mean that. It means God is one God and is one will, but yet for us as human beings, we see it as two things. There is a will that is known unto God that we don't know what God is going to do next. But the revelation of God's decreed will on earth comes to us. We see it been acted out in our own lives, everyday events. Though God knew about it in his secret will, yet we now see it acted out as his revealed will. Now let's look at this for a moment or two. God's decretive will, or his secret will, is really submission to providence. You take, for example, we ourselves. We are creatures who are designed for time. We work in hours, minutes, moments, weeks, years. That's us. We are not prone to understand how God's mind works. God doesn't work in years. God does not work in time. We are creatures built, designed for time. In other words, we will witness God's will coming to fruition all the time as every day goes past and events happen. What we do that particular day, it is all part of God's decreed will. As we observe world events, such as this past week, typhoon that hit out there in those far off countries, the earthquakes of previous weeks, or we could go back to 9/11, or we could go back to 2001, to the Asian tsunami. Those are all events that we in the world did not see coming. Yet how did they fit into the will of God? No one knew those events but God alone. And we are to attribute their taking place to God's secret or His decreative will. If we don't do that, we say, well, God knew nothing about it. It was a freak act of nature. That's how the insurance companies describe it. I don't know what they would think if he put on it. Tree fell on car as a result of God's decreative will. I'm not sure what kind of response you would get from your insurance company. But anyway, it is all according to God's decreed will. Everything that comes to pass, there's not a bird falls from the tree. There's not a stone moves in the earth without God having overruled all things. Remember last week we said in regard to God's kingdom, there are three aspects of His kingdom. The kingdom of His government, the kingdom of His power, His control. He oversees the movement and everything in this world. There's nothing takes place, but He is the King of that. And the kingdom of His grace. And then there's the kingdom of His glory, the kingdom of heaven. And here we're looking at God's decreed will in regards to the earth itself. There is nothing takes place. We are continually, as creatures of time, coming to understand this will. For example, I was just thinking about this morning. Next month, on the very first Sunday, 3 years ago, I discovered it was God's will for me to be pastor of this church. It's hard to believe that we're entering our third year of ministry, almost in 1 month's time. 2 years completed, and the beginning of a third. I didn't know that. 9 years ago, last month, my wife found out it was God's decreed will that she be married to a fellow like me. She didn't know that. But in time, God revealed it to her. God's decreed will, you see, is something that is being revealed all the time, but yet we know nothing. It belongs to God alone. Yet we are to be submissive to this. When we pray, Thy will be done, O God, we are thinking, yes, on God's secret will. But you're saying we don't know what God's will is in regards to it. It is secret. But when it comes to us, this is what the Lord is asking of this disciple. When God's secret will is revealed to you, it may be a hard will to bear. It may be a good will to bear. Yet we are to pray, Lord, Thy will be done. I hope my wife didn't pray that whenever she met me. Lord, what have you done? But Thy will be done. I don't think that happened. Or for you either, for that matter of fact, you men who are married. We are looking here at submission. When we pray, Thy will be done, we are saying, Lord, whatever Your secret will has for the duration of my lifetime, help me to submit to that will. We can't change it. It is fixed. It is decreed, as we have said. That's why we call it God's decreed of will. And we are to learn to be content with that will. If it's God's will is that we be unemployed for a particular portion of time, and it's not God's will that we be lazy, by the way, but if it's God's will that unemployment become our lot for a year, month, 2 months, 6 months, then we've got to be content with that and say, Lord, You've given me the power to go out and look for jobs. I've been looking. I've been praying. But Thy will be done. Help me to be content. Make do with the lack of money for this time being. We must learn to be content with God's decreed will. Now, can I just say for a moment in this? That though I'm telling you we are to submit to God's will, that is His secret will, His decreed will, we are not just to say, well, I can't change this. I am not allowed to pray for this to be changed. It is not wrong, men and women. Whenever a hard providence comes our way, maybe an illness, maybe a death in the family, maybe something. Obviously, you can't pray for death to be reversed. But what I'm talking about, maybe someone in your home, someone you know, a friend, has contracted in the will of God a terminal disease. It's It's not wrong for you or for that man to say, Lord, will you change this? Thy will be done, but Lord, it's a hard cross to bear. It's a hard burden. And Lord, I'm praying for you to change us. We're not faithless men and women. We're not asking you. And God was not asking this man and the disciples, look, whatever I send you, you just put up with it. God says no. Yes, pray. Thy will be done. But we are to pray, men and women. We are human beings. We have feelings. We're easy hurt. We're easy encouraged as well. But we are not to just submit and say, well, there's nothing I can do. I'm not allowed to even pray for this to be changed. That's not the teaching of Scripture. Look with me at 2 Corinthians 12 for a moment. And the verse number 8. 2 Corinthians 12 and the verse number 8. Do you remember Paul? Paul had an awful thorn in the flesh. He had an awful infirmity. We don't know what this was. Some people tell us it was his eyesight. Some people say it was his health. Had awful health. Some people say it was people. And I would tend to agree with that, as maybe it was people too. Thorns in the flesh can be people. Would you pray, Lord, remove this thorn? But I would say probably it was a physical ailment that Paul had. Something that was giving him great, great affliction. Look at verse 8, where he actually says, for this thing, O Lord, I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Look at verse 7, where he says there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. God gave it. God's decreed will for Paul was that he bear this fleshly problem, this thorn in the flesh. But Paul submits to this in verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace, Paul, is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I there rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Look at verse 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. You might say, did Paul just give up? No. Paul prayed and prayed and prayed. Lord, take this problem away. I can't bear it anymore. It's hindering the work of the gospel. And yet God said, Paul, it is my will. And you've got to learn to be content with this. You've got to submit to this. And Paul understood that. And then he went on to pray more or less. Well, Father, your will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. If it's designed in heaven, it's good for me on earth. Therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul submitted himself emotionally to the will of God. Now, men and women, I'm a man like subject, like passions as you are. I know what it is to be hurt, and I can tell you today, I'm not saying to any mum or father or child or whoever you might be this morning, just to pick yourself up and get on with it. That'd be very hard for a pastor to say to someone who's come through great problems, difficulties, and maybe even through great difficulties. God is not a God of no grace. If he doesn't show love and care to his people, he doesn't ask him to say, look, I've given you this difficulty, now you just get on with it. But what God is asking of you, whoever you might be, is that you, like Paul and like Christ, who also prayed, Father, why? Why hast thou forsaken me? Why has this befallen me? He's not asking you to harden yourself, but he is saying to you, submit emotionally your heart, your whole being, to my will at this time. God has providentially designed our lives, men and women. We are therefore to submit ourselves to his decreed will. Look at Job chapter 1, verse 21. Surely if any man had problems in life, it was this man Job, who did submit to them. But he understood they were the will of God. Job chapter 1, verse 21, where he says, the Lord gave. Remember how he lost his children? He lost his home, he lost his finances, he lost his wealth, he lost everything. And yet he says, Lord, you have taken away. You have given. You've given. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was a man who had learned to understand that God has a decreed will and it can't be changed. God has decreed it. But yet it was not wrong for Job to say, Lord, if only it could be changed. I'm a man. I feel the loss of my children. I can tell you, God understood the heart of Job. Lose all your children in one afternoon. Just have them taken away. And by the way, they weren't taken away forever. Because remember how Job had restored to him twice everything? The cattle, the sheep, his money, and his children. He was given his children again. Was it the seven children? Some have asked, why did God not give him 14 children? God was teaching him, Job, you have 7 children yet in glory. He hadn't lost them. Those 7 children were there. They were in heaven. He hadn't lost them. There's no need for the Lord to double them up to 21. 14 on earth, 7 in heaven. But yet the Lord gives this man the grace and he says to him, Job, you submit to my will. It was God's decreed will. And he says, blessed be the name of the Lord. Can I say something else in this? Submission to God's decreed will does not mean that we dispense with emotion. As I just said, when you lose a loved one through death, there is emotion, great emotion. We mourn them. The passing increases sorrow. It's not wrong to ask God why. Turn with me to Matthew 27:46. When a situation comes our way, we do not understand it. It's not wrong to say, God, why has this happened? You know, there are preachers who tell men and women that. Don't you dare question God's will. Why have you taken that child from me, Lord? Why have you taken my employment from me, Lord? Why have you taken this from me, Lord? You know, I love the doctrine of adoption. Which brings me to see that my Father remembers I'm a child. And I have the emotions of a child. I'm not a hardened man. God remembers that I'm a child and he says, little child, you cry, you weep. I'm your Father. And there in Matthew 27:46, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Speaking to a young girl last week, a young girl who went to school with me, same age as me. She has a beautiful family. But recently she lost a child. And she emailed me to say, Paul, you're in the ministry now. Why has this happened? Can you explain to me from Scripture why this has happened? And we emailed back and forth for maybe the period of an hour or so on different Scriptures. And I just brought her to see. I say, listen, Evelyn. God is still your Father. And this is His will for you at this time. But there's a reason for this, and God does not expect you to harden yourself and to not question His will. He invites you to question His will. He wants you to communicate with Him. Go to God. Ask God. Ask God to explain this reason for you. Because His Son Christ asked Him. And I remember saying to her, if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, could say to his Father, "Why, Father?" then surely you can go and say, "Father, why?" And I'm telling you, Christian, this morning, you can do that. Though that union between Father and Son, hypostatically, that union between God the Son, God the Father, was not broken, yet Christ as a man was now filled with a sense of a loss of presence from God. He felt the loss of God's presence on the cross. He felt the sense of divine wrath, the iniquities he bore, necessary for him to endure in order to make satisfaction for his people. Father, why? But what is God's revealed will, men? God's decreed will, God's revealed will is his preceptive will, his precepts, or his inscripturated will. Big words, I know. This is God's word. It is God's decreed will. It is God's inscripturated will. It is God's preceptive will. In this book we have precepts. In this book we have inscripturated God's will. I remember on a youth weekend, when I was young enough to go on them, still am maybe, years ago, I remember one of my first youth weekends with the Ballymena Youth Fellowship. I remember asking the Reverend James Beggs on the way down in the bus, and I remember saying to him, or maybe it was just on a bus stop, or I remember saying to him, "You know, Mr. Beggs, tell me, what is the Bible to you? What is this Bible to me? What is it? It's God's Word, but what is it? Is it just a book?" And I remember him saying to me, "Paul, this is God's revealed will and mind for you and for me. This is God's will, men and women. It is his preceptive will. And in it we have those commands. In it we have inscripturated exhortations which we as God's people know. We can read them. They're not hidden. Not like with the creative will of God. We know them. And we are to pray, 'Thy will be done. Help me, O God, to do and perform your inscripturated, your preceptive, your revealed will.'" For example, if I was to say to myself, "What is God's will for me as a pastor, this church? What do I do?" Well, the first place I would turn would to the pastoral epistles of Titus and to Timothy. And there I would find God's will for me. "Paul, your will as a pastor of the church is to feed the flock of God." That's the inscripturated. That is the preceptive will of God for me as a pastor. What's the will of God for you as a woman? Well, you would go to Ephesians 5 and 6, wouldn't you? "Woman, submit yourself to your husband." What's the will of God for you as a father? "Husbands, love your wives." What's the will of God for me as a child? "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right." What is the will of God for me as a Christian? "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Fill your mind with the scripture. Lay it up in your heart. Go to the book of Psalms and read the book of Psalms. Precept after precept. Line after line. God's preceptive will. It's not hidden. You can read it. You know it. You can perform it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's go back to the opening statement. Thy will be done. We're not only praying that God will give us power to submit to his decreed will, but we are praying that God might enable us to perform his revealed will on earth. That's why the petition reads this way. Go back to Luke chapter 11. "Thy will be done in earth, on earth, so in heaven." May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As Matthew chapter 6 reads. And that means that we are to look then for God's will. We are to read God's will. This, as old Pastor Beggs said, is God's will. Which means we cannot be sincere in that prayer.
When you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You are not sincere in your praying, men and women, if you're not in the study of this book. This is God's will. And you will never do God's will until you know God's will. I think it goes without saying the study of Scripture is clear. There is the clear connection between God's will, doing God's will, and praying it. It is the connection. I pray, I want to do it. How do I do it? Read the book. Get to know the commands of God's Scripture. How do I apply this book? Who am I to marry, you might say, young woman? Does God's book, the Bible, God's will have anything to say about me? Well, of course it does. It tells you to marry only in the Lord. That's the command of Scripture. Be ye not unequally yoked, as the heathen do. That's applying God's will. You take the commands of Scripture, you use them, and you apply them to your everyday situation. You know, we do live in days when there's a lot of nonsensical nonsense. Of course, that doesn't even make sense either, but it's nonsensical advice that goes about how you are to determine God's will. There's this kind of mystical approach. And I would strongly discourage it. Very much so. When Christians want to know God's will, they'll say, well, I need a verse from Scripture. You don't need a verse from Scripture to know God's will. Now, when you are in God's will and you are doing God's will is not something that you seek. You do it. And in doing God's will, God encourages you through or by giving you those verses. In other words, if you say, okay, I'm just leaving school. What is God's will for me as a job? Well, I'm going to read Scriptures, and the first book I come to, the first verse that I come to, that gives me some indication of being a teacher, or mentions wood, that means I've got to be a joiner, or mentions something, wheels, that means I'm going to be a car mechanic. And if you read the book of Ezekiel, you'll end up being a mechanic because there's lots of wheels in the book of Ezekiel. But that's the kind of crazy interpretation that people put on the Scripture. Oh, I've got to be in God's will. I've got a wee verse there today. Now, let's be clear. I'm being very, very hard when I'm saying this because I know you're sitting there saying, that's what I do. I'm not blowing it out of the water. What I am having you do is get the order right. God's will is not something that you just randomly go through the Scriptures and God speaks to you. God does speak through His Word. But He only speaks to men and women who are already seeking to do His will. In other words, Christian, if you're praying, and I believe many of you are, God, help me to do your will. You are a man, or you are a woman, who are already reading the Scriptures. And you're in the Scriptures systematically. You're maybe reading through John. And you're coming to say, Lord, but of course the Lord's burdening you to do this. Lord, I want to know what your will is over the summer holidays. I have time on my hands. And you're reading the Scriptures. And God is speaking. He begins to speak to you about outreach, going into all the world, preaching the gospel. Well, of course, then you can say, I believe God is speaking to me from His Word. But the man who comes to me or comes to you and says, well, God has told me this, and yet that's a man who never lifts the Bible. He's never found in a prayer meeting in the church. I tell you now, that man knows nothing of God's will. Nothing whatsoever. It's a man who is a man of prayer, because you know where the will of God starts. It starts in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And I'm assuring you, Christian, if you're in prayer, publicly, privately, wherever you are, you will be a man who, or a woman who will know what it is to be led to do God's will. Don't you worry about a man who says, you could be outside of God's will. If you're in the prayer meeting and praying and knowing the blessing of God in your life, directing you in the scriptures, you are not a man or a woman who's outside of God's will. Too many young people are scared today by preachers who say, you can live God's second best. There is no such thing, by the way. You can argue with that with me later if you want. You're either doing God's will or you're not doing God's will. And God's will for you is that you study His Word, that you pray. And outside of that, God will reveal it to you. God will reveal it to you. That is God's will. God's will begins in prayer. I emphasize it again. And out of that, God will lead the man in prayer. He will lead them on. Time is moving on. Time, in fact, is actually gone. I haven't even got to look at this. How we are to pray for God's will to be executed in heaven. And how is God's will to be done on earth. And how we are to apply the third petition. I'll leave that for another meeting. Because we have a long day today. With Sunday school, Bible class, an evening meeting. But can I say this? You need God's Spirit to help you. The man who will be led into gospel ministry, or the woman who will be led to be the missionary, is the man or the woman, as I say, who is in their prayer, in the prayer, place of prayer, place of Bible study, and has the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never leads a man or a woman outside of God's will. And you find that in Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans 8 for a moment. Let me just conclude this message this morning by saying this. Romans chapter 8. And the verse 26. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's an amazing thought. That whenever the young woman goes to pray, or the young man goes to pray, and he's in the Tuesday night prayer meeting, and he begins to pray, or she begins to pray, Lord, what's your will for my life? The Spirit of God takes over. The Spirit gives that young woman, young man, prayer. And she begins to pray. The Spirit guiding her thoughts. Because the Spirit knoweth what is the mind of God. The decreed will of God. If it's God's decreed will for you to be a missionary, without being a fatalist here, you will be a missionary. If it's God's will for you to work in shorts, or to work in a little greengrocer shop at the bottom of the Craigie Road, God is glorified in that too. But God is not glorified in Christians who come with their mouths professing, I want to do God's will, but yet they never express it through prayer in their homes or anywhere else. If you think about it this way, this church is like a ship. It's like a gospel ship. And if we hoist the sails and there's no wind to move the sails which move the ship, this ship will sit. You take a man who goes out with his boat and he hoists his sails, and there's no wind to move that, and there he is, he sits in Donaghadee Harbour or wherever else he goes. And then he starts to blow, trying to move his own ship. And maybe he gets a piece of timber and he starts waving it, trying to create his own kind of wind to move the ship. Ship doesn't go anywhere. That is a bit like the church without prayer. In the Spirit. We need Spirit-fueled prayer. We need that. We're like a sailboat. We're like a ship. And if we're trying to generate our own wind, then we're all standing blowing our sincerest expressions. Oh, I'd love to do God's will. I'd want to do that. I'd love to be a missionary. Or we're waving our best meditations. And all that we do in this church, our financial situation, the wind being our own, the seals of prayer remain unmoved, and the ship still sits. But only God's people will see whenever God, the Holy Spirit, takes our prayer meeting on Tuesday night and causes a mighty God-sent wind to blow in those seas. I can tell you that ship, this ship, will move with lightning speed. We need to see that, Mammo. We need to pray. I don't want to see the seals of prayer lying limp. But I know in the hearts of some of our men and some of our women, and the seals of prayer have been limp for many, many years. Many years. When God's people are here, in God's house, praying, preaching, thy will be done. Some are lying in their beds. God's people are there on a Tuesday night praying. Or on a Wednesday night working with the children. I'm not saying you have to be there. You can't always be there, but I mean, God's will for you would be different from me. God's will is, and we look at this next week, or whenever, not next week, whenever we come back. God's will is for the mothers here tonight. I mean, the will is if you're not a mother, you can't be at the prayer meeting because you've got a child. But you don't have a child. That's not God's will for you. God's will for some in this meeting is different for others. But when we glorify God's will in whatever aspect we're in, being a mother, being a father, being an employer or an employee, the seals of prayer still need to go up. I've not been hard on anyone here. I'm only putting the question to you, are you praying? Are you putting your voice to the seal of this ship? Thy will be done. Only you can answer that. You know that. You know how you can answer that. My prayer is, the voices of many would gather in that room at 6:30 tonight for this meeting at 7:00. Lord, let the gospel ship go loose. Let it go with lightning speed. And may your will be done here on earth as it is done in heaven with power. May God bless His word today. We will come back to look at this. What is God's will? How it is executed in heaven. How it's done on earth. And how we are to apply it for His name's sake. May God bless you as a congregation. May you take God's word as it comes to you as an encouragement or a rebuke. But whatever it is, thank God that God is speaking to your heart for His name's sake. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we need to know your power. If we know not the Spirit of God, Lord, our own hearts will be at home today, lying, slumbering, with no desire for your work to go on. But Lord, build your church. Help us, Lord, to lend our voice. And may the Spirit fill the sails of that gospel ship. And may I go forth carrying that joyful sound over the waves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Father, part us with your blessing today. Let us know the needs of your people. Lord, we're preaching here to work on families. Families with needs. Families with many different avenues of service. Help us never to forget, Lord, that
The will of God for that man's life is different from that of my life, or for that woman. And from that point, Lord, we cannot discern what the will is for everyone here. But we do know, Lord, that Thou art a God of one will, and that will is that You be glorified. In that, unite us. For we pray this in Christ's name.